God is good,
and all the time, and I am John. I am blessed to serve as a pastor here, and I'm thankful to be back, so I appreciate all of you who prayed for us. If you are new, we just got back from Thailand. We had a group of six of us from Hallmark, and there were five from another church, and we got to visit some missionaries in Thailand that we've been supporting for a long time, since 1998. One of the missionaries we've been supporting and never been able to go and see what God is doing there. But wow, my heart has just been blessed this morning. Has your heart been blessed this morning? It was awesome to see these three people share their story of finding and following Jesus. And what I love about those stories is each one of those stories was connected to their neighbor. It was really cool to see Randy and Joy, neighbors of Jason and Nay, who just continued to invite them to church. And what a great opportunity to be able to read their story. Thank you guys for reading that story. And of course, Christina reading her story. She's neighbors to the Pariks who invited them to church. And I love seeing our people invite people and then them finding Jesus. That's what it's all about, right? And so I'm thankful for that. I've just been sitting here enjoying the day and thinking about all the stories. I really didn't have planned to tell you a bunch of stories about Thailand. So I want to encourage you to come back on Wednesday night, this Wednesday night in FC 104 at 6:30. William McLemore will be teaching, but also sharing some of the stories from Thailand. But one of the stories, I don't have a picture and not going to show it to you anyways, just because I'm not sure of, just for safety reasons. But last Saturday, we were sitting in a church service there in Bangkok. It was not a church service, just a kids like VBS day. And these kids that we were having Sunday school with were kids, refugees from Pakistan. And I sit there and took a few pictures. We're coloring and we're very limited in English. And then even the translators, it was a church in Thailand, but then it's people from Pakistan. And it was just, you know, kind of limited communication, but we're taking these pictures. And then I get ushered out of the building to jump on a little moped with someone else to go off to see some other ministry. And about two blocks down, the guy hops off his motorcycle and he says, "I'm not sure if this is gonna work. You're really big." I was like, "I know. let me drive the thing, you know." But we finally make it to where we're going to see a soccer ministry, and so then I missed out on some of the stories, but I got these pictures, and I talked to this girl, Sharia. She's like 14 years old, and realized later on the next day that she, the reason they fled Pakistan was because she was abducted and drugged. Often they would abduct them, these girls, young girls, 13 or 14, they would drug them, they would take them to a mosque, and then they would officially marry them, and now they're their property, and the family has no repercussions. This has happened to this girl, and somehow they got out, and I'm sitting there thinking, you know, you try to process these things, and the next Sunday we go to the church, a Thai church, but then they said, "Hey, our agenda is we're supposed to go shopping tonight." I don't like shopping. And they said, "Or you could go back to the Pakistan church. They meet once a month." And guess what we decided to do? Go back to the church and see. And now these stories of why these kids are where they're at are just kind of processing in my head. And I'm thinking about all this is, as I sit here this morning, this is all processing. This is not in my notes, but I just felt like it's important for us to know when Matt said this morning all this $704,000 that you've gave last year that has gone across the world, it's so that girls like Sharia, who have fled unbelievable circumstances, can sit in color. And I was just thinking this, when I watched her color as a 14-year-old not knowing the story, I was just like, "Oh, look at this innocence." Then I hear the story and I'm like, you know, God can rewrite our story, can't he? God can give us a new beginning. God can make us a new creation. And so I think when you many of you have made sacrifices and you've given for all these years. And then I set up in Connect group, in the Faith Connect group room this morning. In fact, I was late for prayer because I was so into the Bible study, but Vernon and Mary Smith are over here, our longtime missionaries. Could you wave at us this morning? Yeah, you can give them a hand. We started supporting them in 1989, and they've been faithful for 37 years in Tanzania. And I just got to hear all their stories of like 21 churches that they've planted outside of Arusha there in Tanzania, and thinking, man, I was just watching all these pictures. He's telling all these people have given their life to Christ and 21 churches planted. And I was like, wow, we get to be a part of that, Hallmark. That's. I mean, for me, just thinking through the stories, and now I'm supposed to get up and preach about outwardly focused, and I'm thinking, wow, this church has demonstrated that for all of these years. And I'm just thankful to be a part of a church that is radically generous and outwardly focused. And as we think about this passage in 2 Corinthians 8, Matt mentioned this. I've challenged you to set your phone alarm for 8:35. You could do that 8:35 a.m. or 8:35 p.m. or both of them if you would like, but it's really based on this passage of Scripture. But I want to take time to read 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 through 7. Again, Paul writing to the church at Corinth, as Matt mentioned, "Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." And so he's talking about, you know, churches that may sound familiar, Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea, things that churches we would hear about through Acts. And he says, speaking of these churches, verse 2, that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy, their deep poverty, abounded in riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And not only us, as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. So we urged Titus that as he had begun, so he would also complete this grace in you as well. Verse 7, but as you abound in everything, then he lists in faith and in speech and in knowledge and all diligence, and in your love for us. So he's just saying, as you grow in your faith, you know, we've challenged you. Matt just said that we want to challenge you to pray that you'd go beyond in your faith and in your fellowship. And so he says, Paul says, as you abound in everything, faith and speech and knowledge and diligence and in love for us, he then says, see that you abound in this grace also. This grace also that he's asking you to abound or go to beyond in is the idea of giving, of sacrificial giving. So as the last 4 weeks, we've been talking about the hallmarks of Hallmark, that we are biblically driven, personally involved, radically generous, outwardly focused. I stand this morning to say I'm thankful that this is not something new with Hallmark. This is the legacy of Hallmark. These four core values is a legacy of Hallmark. And I want to say thank you to Pastor Carlos and Pastor Nathan that preached the last 2 weeks. Didn't they do a great job preaching? I had to be honest with them. I kind of made a mistake the last two Sunday nights. You know, when you were having church at 9:30 here in the morning, it was 10:30 at night in Thailand. And I got in bed and turned my phone on and put my headphones on, and I almost made it through both messages. So just true confession. I know what it's like to be some of you sitting out in the pew now, falling asleep during the sermon. In fact, they thought that maybe you could use a snack today, and so they gave you a snack. How many of you got one of these coming in today? Okay, if you didn't get one, there's some on your way out. I'm not sure if we ran it by the cleaning team, whether we could pass these out in church or not, but this is just a symbol of the journey we're asking you to be on, beyond. Okay, as the creative team of our Beyond Spiritual Journey came up with this idea, you guys hear it rustling now? I shouldn't have mentioned it. This Beyond journey that we're going on really highlights these four core values. This prayer that we want you to pray it at 8:35 every day, 2 Corinthians 8:35 is the two aspects of this prayer that I'm challenging you to pray is, God, help me to go beyond in my faith and in my fellowship. Help me to grow beyond in my faith and my fellowship. What does this mean as we think about giving and think about going, as we think about going beyond in our faith and fellowship? What does this really mean? It highlighted for us, if you have your notes this morning, it says, if you and I are going to go beyond in our faith and fellowship, we must first give ourselves to the Lord. It's what Paul was saying. He said that he was astounded that this church, these churches, that even though these churches were experiencing persecution, even though they had great trial of affliction, even though they had great poverty, that they went beyond their own ability to give, that they were sacrificially giving for the sake of the Lord, for the church. And he says, but understand the reason that they were so radically generous, the reason that they were so outwardly focused, the reason they were personally involved was because the first thing that they did was that they gave themselves to the Lord, that the Lord was their priority, that the Lord was their focus. And I want you to think for a moment in your own life, if you're challenged to go beyond in your faith, would you identify, would you clarify, would you describe your life, your personal walk with God right now as a walk with God, that God is your first priority, that God is your focus? I don't know about you, but my focus is easily distracted. Easily distracted. And you realize what you focus on, when you focus on something, it brings clarity, and clarity brings direction, and it brings purpose, and it brings priorities. That I'm focused, if I'm focused on doing this one thing, it's gonna bring clarity to my life, to my decisions. It's gonna bring clarity to my purpose and my priorities. Focus. Because your focus, what you focus on is going to consume your mind, didn't it? Have you ever experienced focusing on the wrong thing? Raise your hand. Okay, all of us have. This is not a biblical illustration, but this past Wednesday, so one of the things we're going to challenge you to do in the next couple years is to go on a mission trip. Don't listen to the next part if you're praying about going on a mission trip. So on the trip back, we go the long way because it's cheaper. So we fly from Bangkok to Doha, which is a seven to eight hour flight. That's doable. The next flight from Doha to Dallas is a 17 hour flight. Anybody want to sign up for that? Focus. The person sitting right in front of me had their TV screen on the entire time. They were laid back, and so I had this shot at their TV screen. And you know what they had their TV screen on? The flight path. They slept the entire time. That was another reason I didn't like this person. And I look at their screen, and on the top right corner, it's kind of scrolling different things, and some of it's in a language I can't read, but at the top right corner, after 17 hours, it didn't matter what language it was, I knew what it said. It was the time since you left your destination. And in the top left corner, guess what it said? Time of arrival, or how much longer you got. Oh my word. You know, you wake up and you think, I bet we've been flying 10 hours. And you look on the right corner of their screen and it says, 1 hour from departure. 16 more hours to arrival. And I got focused on the wrong thing, I'm telling you. It made life miserable. Focus. We've been looking at the Sermon on the Mount. So turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. And Jesus speaks to this idea of focus. Because if we're going to challenge you over the next couple years to go beyond in your faith and your fellowship, that means I'm going to grow in my faith. But as you turn to Matthew 6, let me just think for a moment. Let me talk for a moment about this idea of growing in your fellowship.
I think, unfortunately, in our culture today, fellowship in the church has become something that we are somewhat committed to. In fact, statistics and the gurus and the people that do all the, like, this is what it means to be a faithful follower of Jesus and a faithful member of a church. They have lowered the standard and the bar significantly over the last 5 years. What they used to say was a faithful member of a church was that they went, you know, let's say 3 times a month or three, you know, years and years ago, it was 3 hours a week. That was a faithful member of a church. And the bar just keeps getting lower and lower and lower, not the limbo bar, but just the bar of what does it mean to be a faithful follower of Jesus and committed to a local body of Christ? And now, it's like 1 to 2 times a month. And they'll check the box that you are a faithful follower of Jesus committed to a local body of Christ. As we pray about going beyond in our faith, that's me and God. That I would connect more with God, that God would be my focus and my priority. But can I also challenge you as a member of Hallmark Church? That you would pray that God would allow you to go beyond in your fellowship. That there would be a commitment to his church, to be with his people for the sake of his kingdom. COVID has done one thing for us. It has lowered the bar and the standard of commitment in almost every aspect of our life, including the church. And I'm just asking you to pray. Does God want me to be more committed to him and to his church? Can I go beyond? But I think it comes back to our focus. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Jesus speaking, "Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Oftentimes in scriptures, and we've talked about this even on the first Sunday of January, that there's often two paths or two ways or two men, the wise and the foolish, the path that leads to righteousness, the path that leads to destruction. Jesus almost always gives us options. It's our choice to follow him or not. It's our choice to give or not. And so when we look at this, the focus here, there's two options here. I can invest my time and my talent and my treasure and my temple and my testimony in eternal things, or I can invest all of my time, talent, treasure, testimony, and temple in temporal things. Continue. Verse number 22. "The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good..." Okay, let's define good. That means like healthy, generous. Here's the focus. The focus is on eternity. Jesus is just doubling down on what he said in verses 19 through 22, that if we lay up treasure in heaven and if our focus is on eternal, not temporal, if the lamp of the body is the eye, is therefore good, your whole body will be full of light. What are you focused on? Eternity or today? If your eye is bad, your whole body be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in the darkness, how great is that darkness? Here's the two choices again. Verse 24, "No one can serve two masters. Either you hate the one and love the other, or else you'll be loyal to the one and despise the other." You cannot serve God and money. This echoes back to 2 Corinthians 8, verses 3 through 5. They give beyond their ability, but first, they gave themselves to the Lord and then to us also. What is your priority? Where's your focus? On eternity or on the temporal? The next few verses, we're going to take time to read 25 and following, but really it's just kind of an application of your focus. If you're focused on today, you're going to worry. If your focus is on God as the provider, you're not going to worry. And then verse 33, here's the focus. "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." So I want to challenge you. Over the next 2 years, as Pastor Matt mentioned, we believe God has called us to focus on paying this debt off. Amen. To think about how much more generous we could be in our own community, but around the world. Focus. Who was our example? Jesus. In fact, I don't think this is on your notes, or it's even going to be on the screen, but go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. I want to just read two verses, verses 8 and 9. Because we always need to go back to the example. The example is not me, it's not Matt. The example is Jesus. When we think about being biblically driven, personally involved, radically generous, hourly focused, these are all core values Jesus displayed. Let's think about this generosity. Think about these churches that in great affliction and great trial, they had joy and they were generous. These things don't add up. Think about these terms that is used in 2 Corinthians 8. They had great trial, they were in great affliction, yet they had great joy and great generosity. In our culture, in our mindset, those don't resonate. Affliction, trial, joy, generosity. Does that resonate with you? Doesn't that seem a little bit countercultural? Doesn't that seem like counterintuitive? Affliction, trial, joy, generosity. Verse number 8, Paul says, I speak not by commandment, but I am testing the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others. And what Paul is saying is, your generosity, you being personally involved, outwardly focused, is a result of your love for Jesus. Not out of obligation. Don't be sacrificial in your giving or your serving out of obligation. Paul said it's not by commandment, but it's birthed out of love for Jesus Christ. That Jesus, it goes on to say, look at verse number 9. For if you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Have you experienced the grace of Jesus Christ in your life? Have you experienced the grace of Jesus Christ in your life? Buena Sophia, is that what it was? In Sunday school, hey, if you don't have a connect group and you have about 45 minutes after church, I'm gonna encourage you to go to WC209. You can take the elevator right up. Our missionaries are gonna give a report, and they gave us a Swahili word, Buena Sophia. Safiwe, I think is how it is. Can you say it for us?
Buena Safiwe.
Safiwe, all right, Buena Safiwe. And your response is to say amen. Buena Safiwe.
Amen.
Have you experienced the grace of God?
Amen.
And what Paul is saying is, if you truly experienced the grace of God in your life, what's the response? I'm gonna be personally involved. I'm gonna be radically generous, and I'm gonna be outwardly focused. But in order for this to be the heartbeat of my life, I first must give myself to the Lord. My focus, my priority is I wanna serve Jesus. Look at the example. Let's finish verse number 9. For you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might become rich. That's speaking of the grace of God. Why do we need to go beyond? Well, because we have neighbors like Jason and Nay and Christina who need to find and follow Jesus. Why do we need to go beyond? Well, because there are missionaries all over the world who are trying to tell people about Jesus, and they need our help. They need our prayers, and they need our support. One of the things we got to do this past week in Thailand, in fact, if my memory is correct, on Tuesday, our Tuesday morning there, your Monday. Right before we got on the plane, we went to one of the colleges and we got to do English class for them. And the way they did the English class was we would be in groups. This particular day, we were in groups of about 8 to 12 students. Most of the students were 17, 18 years old, in that range. Their English was very limited. The day before, we had gone to another college and they were like 21-year-olds and their English was much better. So we were expecting the experience that we had had. We show up the next day at different college, younger students, and it was kind of difficult, but we walked them through some different things. My subject was sports, and so I got to talk about sports and do vocabulary words, and all of this was through the ministry of our missionary, Shane and Katie Salmon. And so at the end of the rotations and all the teaching, then the students would pick one of us that they wanted to interview, and they had a list of 14 questions that they would ask us, and then at the end of the interview, then they would have to get up in front of their class and rehearse or give the interview in English. This was them practicing. Question number 6 on the interview this day was, what is your favorite thing to read? The table I was at, Harine was her name. She chose to interview me. She asked me, what is your favorite book to read, favorite thing to read? And so my answer was the Bible. I didn't realize at the time, but she kind of had a perplexed look on her face. So I said, well, I also liked, because it wasn't resonating with her. I said, I also like to read any book I can on leadership. That didn't resonate with her either. So then I'm saying, well, I'm a teacher, and so I like to teach, and so I read books that help me teach, and one of the books that helps me teach is the Bible. That didn't really resonate with her. And, you know, then they're going through hobbies and other things, and then question number 14. Here's the question. What's the most important decision you've ever made in your life, and why did you do it? That's a loaded question, isn't it? Obviously, the Salmons, the missionaries, had a plan in their asking of these questions. And I said to her, and there's, again, about 8 to 12, 16 to 17-year-old students. This girl, Harine, was her name, 17-year-old. She spoke the best English, which is why her class voted for her to interview me. And I said, when I was 17 years old, same age you are, when I was 17 years old, I made a decision. The most important decision I ever made was I made a decision to be a follower of Jesus. And the look on her face, completely blank. And she said, with again this perplexed look, well, who is Jesus? Okay, there's no context, no baseline. And I started like, well, he's the Son of God. And it's like, okay, well, that's not good. She has no. That's not going to resonate with her. I said, okay, remember question number 6? Yeah. The book, my favorite book to read, the Bible. Yeah. In the Bible, it told me about Jesus. That Jesus lived a perfect life, died a cruel death on a cross. And on that day when I was 17, I decided to follow Jesus. And so, why do we need to go beyond? Because next week, the Salmons are going to go back to the college and hopefully have another conversation with Harine, who maybe has one seed planted of who Jesus is. But that seed needs to be watered. And one day, maybe Harine will make a decision to follow Jesus. And that's why I think in my life, God wants me to go beyond. Because there's people in my community and in the world who need Jesus. Could I just ask you to close your eyes for a moment? Here's what I want you to walk away with this morning. You need to, in your own life, you need to make a decision. Am I going to choose today to join the journey of going beyond in my faith and fellowship? Maybe this morning, the decision for you is not even that far yet. Maybe the decision today is, God, I'm going to start praying that you would help me go beyond in my faith, in my fellowship. There's three areas we want you to go beyond. That is, that you'll serve, that you'll go, and that you'll give. But you will do none of that until you first give yourself to the Lord. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. As our eyes are closed, who would say, John, I'm going to make a commitment right now. I'm going to at least start praying that God would help me go beyond in my faith, in my fellowship. You're not committing anything else. Just I'm committing to start praying about it. Just put your hand up. I'm praying. I'm committing. I'm going to pray that God would help me go beyond in my faith and in my fellowship. All right. That's many of us. You can put your hand down. Then I want to challenge you. When we're going to stand in a moment and we're going to sing, would you just come to the altar? Take that action step of make the commitment right here on this day. I'm committing to pray. Would you stand with me? God, I thank you for this day. Lord, I pray this morning that you would help me in my own life go beyond. Give me the faith to seek you more and to pursue you more. Give me the faith to be more committed to your church and to your people. Lord, may we as a church this year go beyond in our faith and our fellowship for the sake of your kingdom. As we sing, if God has spoken to you, I just encourage you to come and pray.